A reading from Luke. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them,
"See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again."
But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him,
"Jesus of Nazareth is passing by."
Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him, and when he came near, he asked him,
"What do you want me to do for you?"
He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him,
"Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you."
Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, praised God. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him,
"Zacharias, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today."
So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said,
"He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner."
Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him,
"Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
The gospel reading today is rich with ideas for a sermon, but I have picked out a part that all of us most likely took for granted even as we woke up this morning, our eyesight. You might, like me, have grabbed your glasses right after your feet hit the floor. You, like me, took for granted how your eyes opened and you could see around your room. My son Mac was born in 1997, a beautiful 8-pound, 11-ounce boy. He was thriving until about his fourth month. His left eye looked swollen, especially under the bottom lid. There were doctor visits and penicillin prescriptions, thinking that Mac had conjunctivitis, or what we would call pink eye. He could not go to daycare, and that was rough because I had limited vacation time at the bank that I worked at in Johnstown. His sister never got eye infections like this, so this situation was new to me. After dealing with this situation for about 4 months, the pediatrician suggested a specialist. The specialist suggested that we have an MRI. The hospital had to put Mac to sleep for the procedure, and I can still remember handing my baby to a nurse and the metal door slamming of the MRI room as I stood there, helpless. We met with the specialist who read the MRI results. He assured me that the tumor that we were looking at was not cancerous. He suggested that we meet with an orbital eye specialist in Pittsburgh, Dr. John Kennerdell, who informed us that Mac had lymph hemangioma in the left orbit of his eye. that made this the youngest case of lymphhemangioma he had ever seen. Mac's name is in a medical journal because of this diagnosis. Lymphhemangioma can develop anywhere in the body. It is when lymph fluid becomes blocked in lymph channels, channels that are sort of made of a looking material like elbow macaroni. Blood can get trapped within the channels as well. A common cold, an eye infection, eye injury, a hard bump to the head could make this situation swell. This quote, powder keg, could swell to the point of choking off the optic nerve, which would result in blindness of his left eye. As Mac grew up, by the grace of God, the tumor never swelled or grew bigger. Mac grew faster than the tumor. So the little boy who had the swollen purple eye has not lost his sight. He and I lived through football, soccer, swimming, and rugby. There were days that I felt we were living on the edge, such as when his wisdom teeth had to come out at a very young age. Mac was put in glasses in kindergarten. Dr. Kennerdell thought that glasses would help boost the left eye's performance. The eye was weak. Mac never wanted to wear these glasses, so it was a constant battle. He stopped wearing glasses for good in junior high school. I was tired of fighting with him, and he told me that he felt the glasses were holding him back. The result is that his right eye has become stronger than 20/20 vision, and that his left eye, though weak, works just fine. Mac has learned to overcome the obstacle of his sight. He will never be totally out of the woods. There may be a day when the tumor may swell, but for now, he just enjoys living every day with the sight that he has. The first part of our gospel today is about Jesus speaking to the disciples about his upcoming suffering, death, and resurrection. This is the third time that Jesus is having a direct conversation with the 12. They are physically present, yet they are so consumed with the fact that Jesus said he was going to die that they don't see what the resurrection would mean to them or to the world that they would preach to. Then there is the blind man. Anyone with a handicap in Jesus's time would not be able to make a living. Medical help was not available. There was little hope of ever escaping their situation. People usually tended to ignore the handicapped, so the self-worth of such a person was not too great. But yet this blind man could hear. He heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. He had faith enough to know that if you call out to Jesus, he will hear you. So the blind man calls out, quote, "Son of David," which tells us that this blind man is referring to Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. In the end, the blind man has his sight restored. Yes, he could see. Finally, there is Zacchaeus, whose name means pure. The Romans levied heavy taxes on the Jews. The Jews opposed these unfair taxes. Zacchaeus, a Jew, worked for the Romans, collecting the taxes from his very own people, who hated him because his pay made him rich. His pay was their tax money. Jesus arrives in town. Zacchaeus hears about Jesus and wants to hear what Jesus has to say. What did he have to lose? Nobody from his hometown liked him anyway. Maybe this Jesus guy could provide some new insight. But Zacchaeus was short, and the crowd of tall people was large. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus, so he climbed that tree. Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house right in front of everyone, all the people who hated Zacchaeus. That night, Zacchaeus changed his life. So this sermon is about sight. It started out with how we take our own gift of sight for granted. My son and his sight problem and how he continues to overcome in spite of his diagnosis. The sight of the disciples who physically sat and ate with Jesus but could not spiritually see beyond Jesus's death to the hope of the resurrection. The blind man who could not physically see but who was unashamed, even as society thought that he had no worth, who called out in faith to the Son of David, asking him for the physical gift of sight. This blind man already had spiritual sight of faith. Then there was the vertically challenged Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree because he couldn't physically see Jesus. He, like the blind man, already had spiritual sight of faith. So what about you? Have you taken your sight for granted? We should not only be thankful for our physical sight, but we should also be thankful for our spiritual sight. We are Easter people. We live in the time of Jesus's resurrection. We read the stories of the disciples and how we think we know we could do things differently. But do we? Are we ashamed to call out to Jesus when we are in need? Or do we learn from Zacchaeus and realize that really we can meet God anywhere, at any time, when we just raise our head out over the crowd and see? Amen.